get into it. Did anyone else feel like January took 3 years and 7 months to get through it? I felt like it was January forever, maybe because of the snow and the temperatures that made a polar bear cold, but in seriousness, it just took forever, it felt like. Some things happened in January, though. We talked about Matthew chapter 6, and I told you that this year will be, that we will hit on why we give and why we pray and why we fast, and I told you that this year would be marked by fasting. And 2 weeks ago, we laid out the state of the church, And I talked about purpose and how that we wanted as a body to find our purpose, but we wanted you as individuals to find purpose. And then Brother Dorsey came in last week and talked about purpose. God is good. We paid off the building last year and we talked about that. We also talked about the church, how the church only has at this point, this month, $5,600 in debt, and I'm believing that with your help, we can erase that debt this month. I want us to be free of debt so that we can fulfill our purpose as a body and as individuals. I want us to be a healthy church. I love the book of Acts because there's so much happening. It's the history of the church. If you've never just read through the book of Acts, I encourage you to start reading it. Start reading it. You're a couple days in, we're on February 2nd. You can read the whole book of Acts. You got to read 2 chapters today, but you can bring the whole book of Acts by reading a chapter a day. I love the book of Acts. There's so much happening. We're seeing the church beginning, and they're seeing miracles, and they're seeing lives being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's some incredible principles tucked away in Acts that showed what was happening. One of the things that I see throughout Acts is when the Holy Spirit shows up and does His thing, it makes people want to tell everybody about what God is doing in their lives. And Acts 2 is maybe my favorite chapter in the book. It's the beginning of Pentecost. It's the start of the church as we know it. But there's a lot of times when we're reading Acts chapter 2, we get to verse 41 and we stop. When it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And we just stop there. That's awesome, right? 3,000 people came to know Christ in one day. That's amazing. That's incredible. But there's more too. Chapter 2. See, right after that, in my Bible, there's a subheading that says, the believers form a community. And the next few verses are the beginning of a community, of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, communion, what we just did, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared with their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. They were not just devoted to the teaching. They were devoted to the teaching, but that wasn't it. The Bible says they were also devoted to fellowship. Do you know that fellowship is important? Fellowship in the body is important. Fellowship means spending time together, having dinner, having a party, connecting in relationship. It's about a family being together and loving each other. Can I tell you that if you never come to fellowships that we are having here at the church, whether it be after Sunday morning or Sunday night fellowships that we have, people don't know who you are. And you may have been coming here for 30, 40 years, but the people who've started coming in the last 5 years that are coming to the fellowships, they don't know who you are. And you start describing you to them. And they have all kinds of funny things to say about people. It's important that we fellowship with one another. It's important that you come and you fellowship at the beginning of service. It's okay. Let me tell you something. I will not turn the lights out on you. I might leave you here, but I will not turn the lights out on you if you want to talk after service. That was not me. I have never turned the lights off on somebody. You can hang out and fellowship with each other. I want that to happen. I desire for our church to fellowship. A community church is a loving church that fellowships. The Christian journey is not designed to be walked alone. As we continue to grow, we have to be very intentional about fellowship, developing relationships with each other. The thing about developing relationships with each other as you come into the body is when you're missing, I'm not the only one that misses you. When you're missing and I'm not here and you're like, well, the pastor didn't even say anything to me. It's because I wasn't here. Sometimes I don't notice that you're missing. I'm sorry. Maybe you should fellowship more. It's about developing relationships with each other. It's one reason I push you to get involved, and we talk about volunteering and being involved in ministry, and I've been asking you to come early on Wednesday nights to build relationships with these students. We want to equip you to be healthy and a loving family and following Jesus together as a family. We're working on opportunities for you to be able to talk about Jesus as a family. We're working on putting tools in your hands as parents to engage your kids and with what they've been talking about in Children's Church through the Bible Engagement app. We want you to fellowship. We want you to grow together. Verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals and to prayer. The Bible says they were devoted to prayer. Prayer is a dynamic, ongoing, intimate conversation with God. God, the creator of the universe, designed a method for us to connect with Him. We connect to God through prayer. My prayer is that every week in our services, everyone connects with God. And that on a regular basis, you find a time and place to connect with God. I challenge you to spend time with Him in every day. Whether it be prayer, reading your Bible, or both. If you spend daily time with God, you will develop a deep personal relationship connection with Him. And have a greater sense of peace. Even in the storms. We start corporate prayer times this week, Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. and Thursday mornings at 5 a.m. We will be having prayer meetings. I encourage you to make one of these meetings priority in your week. Spend time on your way home or on your way to work talking to the Lord. This is not something new. We were doing these prayer meetings most of last year. And things that we prayed about on Tuesday nights and Thursday mornings, God was meeting and doing. Jobs were received. People were healed. I encourage you to be a part of these. Even if you say, well, I've got to go to work and I've got to be there early. Well, that's okay. We're here at 5. You can stay, and if you have to leave before we're done, that's all right. Well, I can't be there right at 6. That's okay. We're here till 7 at least. Come and be a part of prayer. Verse 43 says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. What does this mean, filled with awe? They weren't talking about how wonderful they were. They were talking about how wonderful God is. The people were filled with awe at what God was doing, and the fact is, He was using them. A healthy community church is a humble church. Humility is all about gratefulness. God will bring growth to a humble church, one that acknowledges Him as the builder and owner. On the other hand, God will allow a proud church to fail. This is God's church. Everything that happens here is because of Him. The things that we receive to bless our community with is because He opens the doors for us. The building was paid off at the end of last year because He did it. This is not our church. This is not my church. This is God's church. Everything that we have comes from Him. Everything that we have belongs to Him. I am in awe of what He does through us. I am in awe that He has allowed me to be here as your shepherd. But this is not my church. It doesn't matter what I want. This is not your church. The goal is not to make any one person happy. This is God's church. We want to make Him happy. We want to obey and follow His will and His plan for His church. We want to fall into our purpose of what He's called us to do. We want to reach our community because it's important to God that we reach our community. It's God's church. 2 weeks ago, I got an email from Convoy of Hope. Honestly, after I got the email, I was pretty disappointed because they sent me an email that said, you will no longer be receiving quarterly trucks. We had scheduled trucks that we received quarterly. The way the email read, we were not going to be receiving any more trucks from Convoy. I was mad. I was upset. I was like, God, you just paid this building off for us to not get anything else? The next day, I got an email. Hey, do you want a load of drinks? Yes. 2 days later, I got another email. Hey, do you want a load of drinks? Yes. The next day, I got another email. Hey, do you want a load of stuff? Yes. We've received 2 trucks already this year, and we will receive 2 more this week. And three of those came after they sent me an email saying that we wouldn't get any more trucks. Yeah. Keep sending it, Lord. Keep sending it. And we'll keep giving it away. It says a deep sense of awe came over them as the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. The supernatural was at work in the house. The supernatural is when God does something that we cannot do, a miracle. When a drug addict gets set free, it's a miracle. It's supernatural. When a sick body is healed, it's a miracle. It's supernatural. When a marriage is restored, it's a miracle. It's supernatural. When someone considering suicide decides instead to live for Jesus, that's a miracle. That's supernatural. When a person with a bad attitude gets a good attitude, that's supernatural. When someone who has been trapped in a cycle of depression finds joy, that's supernatural. When a destructive gossip becomes an encouraging friend, that's a miracle. That's supernatural. When a wayward child returns to Christ, that's a miracle. When a sinner accepts Christ, that's a miracle. It's supernatural. That's the greatest miracle of all. It's awesome to see the difference, the different ways that God works in different people, in different services. I've seen God do some crazy things through people that I thought, not even 100% sure they're saved. But God moves. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, the spiritually mature are sensitive and know it. What God is saying is confirmed in your heart and your spirit. And those who aren't as spiritually mature may not recognize why they feel the way they feel or what's going on. And they ask things like, why am I crying? You are sensing God and His Spirit working on your heart. His supernatural power is in response to our collective hunger. Do you want to see more of His power at work? Get hungry. Get hungry. Start praying for it. It says signs and wonders weren't exclusive. It didn't say that signs and wonders were exclusively to one person. It wasn't the ministry of one guy or two guys. Instead, everyone that was involved in ministry and everyone was seeing supernatural things happen. There was a team. Everything is better in teams. It takes all of us. If one person is doing it all, something is wrong. Instead, it should be all of us working together, using our gifts and talents, finding our place to serve God. We've got a place for you. We've got a place for you on a ministry team. God wants to use you in His supernatural plan. And as a result of you and your ministry, people will be set free and find hope in Jesus. We have to work together, though. There are people, Jeannie, that you can reach that I can't reach. There are people, Charles, that you come into contact with and can reach that there is no way I'll ever reach. Each and every person in this room comes into contact with people and can reach people that I can't reach, that Pastor Adam can't reach, that Pastor Chris can't reach. Because you come into contact and do life with people that we don't. All of us working together is what will see the church grow, what will see things happen. Not one of us or two of us doing it all. Verse 44 says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. The church had a wonderful sense of unity in the beginning, so much so that they shared everything they had. A healthy church is a unified church. God can use a unified church in a powerful way. I thank God and our leadership for unity. I want unity to continue. I feel like for the most part we are unified. One of the keys to unity is the resolving conflict biblically. If you have a problem, go to the person and talk to the person. Don't talk to 47 people before you talk to the person. Gossip and unresolved conflict has no place in church. Church is supposed to be a safe place. I commit to you that I will confront those who aren't willing to resolve conflict biblically. I have. I will not allow them to be in leadership. If they are in leadership, I will ask them to step down from leadership. As your pastor, I am absolutely committed to being unified with each other and leading a unified church. We will have difficult conversations. We'll do it in attitude of love. Those difficult conversations have been had in the last couple years with different ones. They didn't always receive the love that we were trying to show. Let's back up. I know that gossip is going to happen in the church. Because people are people. And church, people attend church. And I know what I am saying is people who hurt others with their loose words and don't want to change will be confronted. If they won't change, they won't be in leadership. And they might need to consider a fresh start somewhere else. I'm just being frank with you. I want to caution you that resolving conflict doesn't always mean that you get your way. It doesn't always mean that I get my way. It doesn't mean that you win. It doesn't mean that I win. Often healthy biblical conflict resolution begins with us admitting we're wrong. We'll move on. Verse 45 says, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They were a generous church made up of generous individuals. Generosity is not about what or how much you have. Instead, generosity is about what you do with what you do have. We have seen some incredible generosity in this church. You have been a generous people with your money, with your time, with your attention, and with your love. Generosity is something I want to mark us. I don't want, you know, there is one thing that people don't forget, and that's your generosity. They also don't forget your stinginess. I was an evangelist for a long time. I can tell you the churches that were generous and the churches that probably that weren't generous at all. I remembered those things. Not because I really wanted to remember those things, but it just happens. I want us to be marked as a generous church. I want people to leave here saying that's a generous place, not because of what we gave, but because of how we love them. Verse 46 says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They were committed. They didn't just meet together once a week. They met together every day. It really makes it makes me tired when people say, I want to go deeper with the Lord. Why don't we go deeper? I've had people ask me this. And then I don't always, but most of the time I want to ask them, do you attend Sunday school? Do you come to Sunday night services? Do you attend one of our prayer meetings? Do you come on Wednesday nights? Do you come to our other events? And you know what the answer is most of the time from those people? No. They want to go deeper but not commit any more time or energy than Sunday morning service. That doesn't really look like the profile of someone who is going to go deep with the Lord. I'm just being honest with you. Attending church is important for your spiritual growth and development. I don't expect everyone to do everything, but I think you should attend more than one service a week if you want to grow deeper with the Lord. It's important for your spiritual growth and development. It's important. If you want to, grow, get involved. We have some connection points that we can put you with. Build relationships with people. That goes back to fellowship. I could stay here for a long time, but I won't. Verse 46 says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. When a healthy church gets together, it is supposed to be a celebration. It should be joyful. It should be fun. Church is not supposed to be boring. It's okay to have fun in church. It's not only okay, it's biblical and healthy. Last year was a taxing year on many of you. It was taxing on my family. It was taxing on me. And one thing that I have decided in this year is that I plan to have more fun. I haven't yet figured out when my time to have fun will be, but I plan on having more of it. Verse 47 says, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. They were worshiping God with passion and enthusiasm, and the Bible tells us God enjoys our worship. So much so that he inhabits the praises of his people. God's presence is attracted to our worship. I want to be an enthusiastic worshiper. I want to be more passionate and more excited and more visibly in love with Jesus than ever before. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. They were influential. This church was relating to the same people who had just killed Jesus. But now the church had favor of all. Why? Because they were loving, caring, unified, and healthy. As a result, they were impacting their community. We as a church should be an influence to our community. The result of all the unity, health, learning, and loving, and praying, and giving, and commitment, and fun, and worship, and influence. What was the result of all those things? The Lord added. The last part of verse 47 says, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The greatest miracle of all, the greatest miracle of all was that people were coming to Christ every single day. A healthy church is an outward-focused church. If we do all the other things we talked about and are outwardly focused, we've missed it. It's the easiest temptation and the quickest way for a church to die when we start caring about ourselves, our needs, our desires, and our preferences more than we do reaching those who don't know Jesus. The mission of the church is to reach people with the love of God. I don't want to be shaken from that value. I don't want to be shaken from that commitment. It should be the influence, it should be influencing everything that we do. This is the essence of the gospel and our guiding principle, one that affects everything that we do. Every soul matters to God. That's why we do the things that we do. That's why we're about to do the golden egg hunt. That's why we do Fall Fest. That's why we give semi-loads of products away, because every soul matters. And if every soul matters to God, and if you claim to follow Jesus, then every soul has to matter to you. You matter to God, and because you matter to God, you matter to us. He loves you, and we love you. Every soul matters to God. Why do we put so much emphasis on outreach? Because every soul matters to God. Why do I ask you to pray with us and get involved at Fall Fest? Because every soul matters to God. Why do we have a whole team of people who give away groceries every other week? Because every soul matters to God. Why do we talk about missions all the time? Because every soul matters. An inward-focused church is an ugly thing. People more worried about getting the right seat or hearing their style of music. They want or keeping other people from using their stuff. And they are about people dying and going to hell without Jesus. We will fight that tendency by continuing to reach out to others. Here in Biola, here in Fulton County, here in our region, and around the world. I refuse to turn inward. And only caring about our needs and our wants and our desires and our preferences. And if you want someone to do that, then I probably need to find somewhere else to go. Because as long as I'm here, we will not stop focusing on outward. That's why we do what we do. The reason that we do First Fruits and why we support missionaries is because I believe if we focus outwardly, that the needs that we have inwardly will be met. We help pay and build churches in Africa. We paid for property and prayed for buildings so people could worship God and so that pastors could reach deeper into their community. And if you think that's not the reason that our building was paid off, then you're wrong. It's because we've met the needs of others. We helped pay for a forklift for a ministry 3 weeks before we found the forklift that we have. We got a really good deal on it. We helped pay for a pallet jack for another ministry, Rural Compassion, and we received 2 pallet jacks. After that, what we do for others, God will do for us. We have to focus on every soul, not just our preferences. I'm asking everyone that would to stand to your feet this morning. Lord, I just thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for this body and this church, Lord. I thank you for a church that is generous. I thank you for a church that is loving. Lord, I thank you for a church that is outwardly focused. Lord, I pray that you help us to become more generous and more outwardly focused. I pray that you help us to become more loving and more committed. I know this wasn't a typical come to the altar type thing, but if you're here and you need God to move in your life, regardless of what it is, I want to pray with you today. I believe that God wants to move in your life. I believe that God wants to change people's lives. Maybe you're not where you need to be with God. Maybe you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Maybe you haven't been the most loving or most generous, and you say, I want those qualities to be more at act in my life. I want to invite you to come. Maybe you've not been the most committed and you say, I want to become more committed. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. It doesn't matter what you have need of this morning. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. God can meet the need. He can touch your life, but you have to give Him the opportunity to do so. Lord, I just thank you right now. Lord, I pray that you just begin to move across this house, Lord. Lord, I know that there are people in this house that need a touch from you. And so, Lord, I pray that you begin to do that right now. Lord, I thank you for the ones that have responded, Lord. Now, I pray that today, before they leave this place, that you meet their need, God. Lord, I just thank you and praise you. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so.